Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio. With us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Horns of a Dilemma department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yes, we have been called upon once again to provide sage advice, wise counsel.
Oh, yeah. How's that been working out?
Well, not that well. But people keep asking, what are we supposed to do?
You never heard of a referral?
Well, this guy may need one of those. But listen to his letter. Are you ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Dear Tom and Ray, I need your help.
Oh, he's in trouble already.
See? My wife can be impetuous and stubborn. In fact, that might be an understatement. I'm used to this, but from time to time, she will occasionally do something so outrageous that it even surprises me. Last weekend, for example, we were heading to northern New Hampshire to visit friends. My wife suggested we stop in a small town so I could pick up a bottle of wine for our friends while she ran a quick errand. I picked out a couple of nice bottles of Chianti, which took all of 5 minutes. I then stood outside the little liquor store waiting for my family to swing back around and pick me up. Minutes turned into a half hour, and the staff in the liquor store was getting a little nervous on my behalf.
I can see that.
Finally, the storekeeper says, "Hey, there they are. You have a black van, right?" "Nope," I say, discouraged. "A red Honda." "Not anymore, you know," he says. Up pulls my wife driving a top-of-the-line, fully loaded, jet-black Chrysler Town & Country with my kids in the back. My wife, meanwhile, is leaning out the front window with that, "Look what I just bought, honey," expression on her face. What's this?" I ask. "Do you like it?" she asks, changing the subject.
That's always a good tactic, right? Yeah. You change the subject.
The guy in the liquor store shakes his head in sympathy and heads back into the store. I get in the van with a confused look on my face, noticing the leather seats and 75 cup holders. A late model Honda Element had been running perfectly and looked great. My wife smiles at me and says, "Don't you just love it?" As we pull away, I see the staff of the liquor store standing outside, doubled over with laughter.
Like this happens all the time.
Now, here's my dilemma. Should I ever bring this up again?
Oh.
Sincerely, Mike.
Well, here's what you do, Mike. Here's what I would do. No, here's what you're going to do. I wouldn't do this. I would have run away from home. Next weekend, when she's busy, you go back to that town in New Hampshire, you find the Chrysler dealer, and you trade the van back for your Element.
Ah.
And you put all the family stuff back into the Element, and you park it back in your driveway, and you say nothing. And when she asks, you shrug and say, "What van?"
No, you can't do that. I mean, that would just escalate the situation. Then what happens? Mike comes home, and he finds another family in his house because she bought a bigger house while he was at work.
Well, and he has to go to the post office to get his own forwarding address.
Yeah, don't say anything, Mike. Just continue on as if nothing had happened. She's happy, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, just drop a casual reference to your new boat at some point. Well, look, if you have a question about your car, whether you wanted the car or not, doesn't matter. Give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Elizabeth. I'm calling from Ottawa, Tennessee.
Ottawa.
Ottawa. It's outside of Chattanooga.
Does it start with an O-O?
O-O-L-T-E-W-A-H, Ottawa.
It's going to be a First Peoples name.
Yes. Yes, it is.
What does that mean, First People?
The First Peoples Zoo is here. And it weren't us.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, Elizabeth.
Well, thanks for calling, Elizabeth.
What's up?
I have a 2003 Saturn Ion, and it is a stick shift, and my daughter and I were on our fabulous summer vacation from Tennessee to New Mexico this summer. We were driving through Montezuma, Kansas, and there are a lot of feedlots, so we heard all the cows, and I thought it was the cows, but as we came out of this town, I realized that it was actually my car that sounded like an agitated cow. It's going, like this. And it's only when I have the air conditioning on, and it feels like when I get to the top of a gear, like, it just goes, but otherwise, it's fine, except it only blows hot air.
Oh, so, so the noise is coming not from the transmission or anything, and it's got really, Would it make this noise if you weren't driving the car?
Yeah, what if you were just sitting with the engine running?
No, it doesn't.
You have to rev the engine to get it to do it.
Got to be moving. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it sounds like, and you're getting only hot air from the air conditioner.
Yes.
I'm going to take a wild guess here.
Okay.
That there's something wrong with the
air conditioner. Yeah, I knew that. And it's probably something wrong with the air conditioner compressor.
Exactly.
Okay. And if you want to get more specific than that, don't ask us.
Well, you'll have to take it someplace. I mean, the reason it's not making cold air is the compressor is responsible for compressing the refrigerant. And then when it's released through an orifice and that pressure drops down, it makes cold. And it, at that point, it's able to absorb the...
It makes coldness.
Coldness. Right, coldness. Yeah. And what's happening is yours isn't doing its job. And the compressor is probably on its way out. And as such, it's not compressing the refrigerant. You may have even lost all the refrigerant.
So this is expensive, isn't it?
It could be relatively expensive.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, if you need a compressor and or other pieces, you could spend $500+.
So as a grad student, I should just wait until April when I get my diploma and then fix it.
You
keep
got
the
it
down.
Exactly correct.
Or
because how many days can it be hot? Well, you know, hot
Tennessee.
In Tennessee?
It might be a lot more hot days. Well, if you can tough it out for the next few months.
Well, open the windows and forget about it.
You could sell the thing in March.
Oh, no.
People wouldn't
notice.
Know that the air
They wouldn't know for a long time.
They won't know for a long time.
I mean, it could be something as benign as a slipping belt. So you might just get lucky.
But
Elizabeth,
you've got to be so pure to be that lucky.
Yeah, are you?
You have to have made no mistakes about anything. For a very long time.
Yeah, how's
time.
Your karma, Elizabeth? Is it good?
I'm wondering.
You hesitated. She hesitated.
That's it. You're in trouble.
Yeah, it's going to cost you $9.50. Start saving up. Good luck.
Okay.
But get it checked out sooner than later.
Okay.
Get the belt checked out. And if it is a belt or a tensioner, replace it and hope for the best.
And if it's not, you got 6 months to figure it out.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thanks for calling.
See you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Bruce from Chicago.
Hey, Bruce, how are you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. Been listening to you guys for years. Love the program.
Nothing better to do, huh, Bruce?
God.
So what's up?
I have a 1995 Avalon that I bought from my brother.
Bought a car from your brother?
Yes, he bought a new one. It has 144,000 miles on it.
Uh-huh. And you did this recently?
About 6 months ago.
How long has this guy been your brother?
68 years.
And you've never figured out anything about him before?
Yeah, that's why I'm calling, because one of us is getting beat. I don't know.
Like, I mean, I wouldn't buy anything from my brother.
No, he just borrows the stuff from me and never returns it.
I mean, I'm stupid, but I'm not that stupid.
Hey, I am. I'm the older brother.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
So what's wrong with your Avalon?
Every time I drive, when you're turning the steering wheel, you hear a sound as if something is rubbing. He told me that the dealer said if I keep the power steering fluid in it, it'll be okay.
And?
I took the car to my mechanic. He said it was okay and that he's going to check it again next time I bring it in. But I was wondering, is there something wrong with the power steering? Did I get beat by my little brother?
Well, was the power steering fluid low?
I don't know. I keep it up. When I got it, I had it totally serviced.
Yeah.
And I look in, and every time I think it's a little low, I put some more in.
But in spite of that, it still makes the noise.
Right.
Uh-huh. So we're clear that it doesn't make any
and
difference.
And I'm going to make two noises for you, and you'll tell me which one it's closer to.
The second one.
The second one.
You don't have a leak because filling it would have made the noise go away. I mean, if you have a leak, it may have caused the problem, but it's not going to fixing the leak is not going to fix the problem. The immediate problem you have, if it's the noise that you're concerned with, it's because the pump is no good. Okay? I think Bruce blacked out on me. You're still there? That's going to cost you several hundred bucks. Okay, so you're going to need to get the pump replaced, and it may be that this small leak, when you say you add fluid to it, how much do you add in a given period of time? Like, say you check it after 2 weeks.
Maybe a couple of ounce, a couple.
That's what we thought.
Like a couple of capfuls.
That's not the problem.
That's not what's causing the noise. What's causing the noise is
the thing you're putting the fluid into.
Exactly. Right. You're putting it into the reservoir, and then from there it's going into the pump. And the pump is malfunctioning, and that's what's causing the noise. Now, it may be that your brother may have run it out of fluid. Is he kind of a scatterbrain, you know, these guys who doesn't really pay attention to stuff?
And most younger brothers are.
He never pays attention to anybody about anything.
Or anything. Well, he probably ran this thing out of fluid. You know, it had,
and
probably
that's
had
why
a,
the pump is no
It
fluid.
Had a small leak. He ignored it. It got the leak got worse. The noise got a little worse. He was probably listening to the radio turned up full blast. One day, he must have turned the radio down, and he said, "Oh, my God, what's that noise?" And then he added fluid to it, and the noise subsided a bit, and he said, "Time to pawn this thing off on my brother Bruce."
On my brother Bruce, exactly.
Right, so he must have called you up and said, "Bruce, guess what? I have good news, brother.
I'm buying a new car. Do you want this old one?"
And you bit. You were a fish waiting to be snagged. Did you get a good price on it?
I only paid him $2,000.
What kind of shape is it in generally?
Very good shape generally.
Yeah.
And he took it in religiously for regular maintenance.
Yeah.
He did. Well, that's good.
That's what he told me.
That's what he told you, right? Well, how would he tell? Well, you would never tell anyone the opposite, would you? Like, I never took this thing in, and look how well it's run. No, but with 144,000 miles on it, it's entirely possible it could go another 144.
Yeah.
These are great cars. The engines are wonderful. And if it needs a power steering pump, big deal.
Yeah, well, it's much better than my old one. My old one was a 1991 that had 194,000 on it.
Oh, so you're good. You got another 50,000 miles to go before you get rid of this one.
Good, good.
Good luck, Bruce.
Thank you very much.
All right.
I love you guys. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. And hopefully when this is all over, you'll still be talking to your brother.
I can't help it.
Oh, maybe not.
I'm the older brother. My mother always made me take care of him.
Oh, geez. Isn't that a curse?
Yes.
See you later, man.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
I haven't talked to my brother for 10 years.
We just do the show together, but we don't actually speak.
We do it from separate studios.
888-CAR-TALK. Gee, it's not a bad idea.
Isn't it good?
Yeah, but they wouldn't have to look at you. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is May, and I'm calling from Union Springs, Alabama.
Union Springs.
No, I've been to Alabama.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
Did you have a banjo on your knee when you went? Anyway, May, what's going on?
Okay, I have a 2002 Volkswagen Beetle, and about a year ago, my car, every now and then, it would get stuck and park, but now it does it almost every other day.
You mean the lever won't move?
Right. I can crank it up. You know, my steering wheel will turn. I put my foot on the brake, and then when I try to pull it out of park, it won't budge.
Right.
So what do you do?
Yeah, what do you do?
Well, sometimes I kind of shake my car. Sometimes I get out and shake it, and sometimes I just shake it from the inside, and then sometimes I just stomp the brake real hard, and then it'll pull out.
Yeah, anyone ever see you do this?
Yes.
Yeah, they must think you're... Oh, geez, May's out there again. She didn't take her medication this morning. She's flipping out. Well, you know, first of all, have you tried stepping on the brake, releasing it, stepping on it again, release? There's a switch on the brake pedal, which actuates, ultimately, a solenoid.
Which is supposed to release
the shifter from park.
Right.
And it may be that switch is worn out or some other part of the mechanism is worn out, which is not allowing that pin to come out that locks the shifter in park.
Okay.
So you might try pumping the brake pedal, but here's what you might try that's even better, taking it someplace, because they're going to have to fix it. Otherwise, you're going to get stuck someplace where you shouldn't be.
Oh, yeah.
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 You ever go any place that you don't want anyone to know you've been to?
No, I try not to do that.
Well, if you did do that, you're going to get stuck there.
Well, you try not to do that, but you didn't say that you don't do that.
And if you did go to one of those places, where would it be?
I'd rather not say.
All right. You should look, by the way, in your owner's book. And I'm sure this vehicle has a way to bypass or disable or override this thing so that you can get it out. But don't use that as a a solution to the problem. You need to get it fixed. And it may be that you just need the switch on the brake pedal replaced.
And that would be easy.
Or adjusted or cleaned.
Okay.
But take it. You have a regular shop that you go to?
No, not really.
How long have you had
well,
this
that's
car?
Good.
I've had it since 04.
Oh, you have? You've had it a while.
Yeah.
Is this the first thing that's gone wrong?
Well, about a couple of weeks ago, see, the reason it started doing it more often, well, I don't know if it's the reason, but I was in a small fender bender, and someone hit me from behind. And so that day that that happened, my car got stuck in park twice. And then every day since then, it does it almost every day.
Oh, you didn't tell
so
us
I don't
that.
Know if that has anything to do with it or not.
Oh, it certainly does.
In fact, that's exactly what you have to tell your insurance company. The car was perfect before this happened.
Yeah.
No, if it was, in fact, it may have something to do with it. You may have broken a transmission mount or something. And
okay.
If that's the case, it may be hard to get out of park. When it finally does come out, do all the gears match up with where they're supposed to be? You know, the little pointer when it says you're in reverse?
Everything
is fine.
It's probably unrelated. But you need to find someone. Either take it to the Volkswagen dealership, or you need to find someone who works on these cars.
Okay.
You can check out our mechanics files on our website, cartalk.com, and you'll find somebody, I'm sure, within maybe 300 or 400 miles of Union Springs that can take care of this for you.
Okay.
See you, May.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Hey, look, it's time for us to take a little break so that local stations can identify themselves.
And station managers control the circuit breaker and pretend they're having a rolling blackout.
Anyway, we'll be back in just a minute.
A long drive in the early morning was the only thing that freed her mind. She learned to see things clearly in a hazy glow of traffic lights. She says, I wasn't raised to spend my days living in a house overrun with drink and screaming. But that's not why I'm leaving.
And even though Nepalese yaks leave a deposit on the nearest shortwave radio whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a jackhammer operator and miss grating noises when you get home.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Collect, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about what? Cars, car repair, and taking it with you when you go.
You'll like this.
I'm sure I will.
You might not. There was a man who had worked all his life. He saved all his money, and he was a real miser when it came to his money. Just before he died, he said to his wife, when I die, dear, I want you to take all my money and put it in the casket with me. I want to take my money to the afterlife with me. And so he got his wife to promise him with all her heart that when he died, she would put all the money in the casket with him. Well, he died. A lot of people do. He died.
Some more than once.
Yeah, I have. He was stretched out in the casket. His wife was sitting there in black, and her friend was sitting next to her. When they finished the ceremony, just before the undertakers got ready to close the casket, the wife says, wait a minute. She had with her a box. She came over with the box and put it in the casket. Then the undertakers locked the casket down and rolled it away. Her friend says to her, you weren't really fool enough to put all that money in there with your husband. The loyal wife replied, listen, I can't go back on my word. I promised him that I was going to put that money in the casket with him. You mean to tell me you put the money in the casket? Well, I did, she said, sort of. I got it all together, I put it in my checking account, and I wrote him a check. If he can cash it, he can spend it.
Cute.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put all my money in my casket with me, and I'm going to do it myself.
Yeah, we'll help you. By the way, for those of you wondering why we're not giving out the answer to last week's puzzler, it's because there was no last week's puzzler.
There was no last week.
That too. The puzzler was on vacation for a few more weeks, but rest assured.
Just a couple.
Rest assured that it is getting rejuvenated, revived, reinvigorated, reborn.
I just want you to know, you personally.
And reused.
That There being no puzzle means I have to come and tell you stupid jokes like this.
All right, the puzzle will be back next week. Well, look, if you do want a puzzle this week, stay tuned and we'll tell you where to find one. Meantime, if you have a question about your car, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is Tim Cohn, and I'm from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Hi, Tim. So what's up, man?
I was just hoping you guys could help us solve a little discussion my wife and I were having.
Tell my husband he's wrong.
My wife is here with me.
What's your name, wife?
Pam.
Yeah, well, okay. This discussion would be like in quotes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I've had some of them. One of those just the other day.
Help him to see the error of his ways.
Well, as you know, Pam, we will speak the truth.
Of course.
Go ahead, Tim. You tell the story.
Assuming we know the truth, and if we don't, we'll make something up.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, we have a 93 Saturn SL1, and I drive a Mazda pickup, and I think it's 87 Mazda pickup. I had borrowed the Saturn.
So you normally drive the Mazda, but you borrowed what is evidently your wife's Saturn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And, well, this came to be because we took it into the dealer to get something done on the windshield wipers. Someone had turned them on when they were frozen to the windshield.
Got it.
And so...
Pam had done that. Okay, yeah. We got it.
So we took it into the dealer to get the windshield wipers fixed, and they went over the whole car, and they said we had a crushed engine mount.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I was wondering, what causes a crushed engine mount?
No. See, this isn't fair. You should hear the story of how possibly the engine mount got crushed to determine if that's how it got crushed.
Pam, we can tell that we'd rather talk to you.
Thank you.
Okay.
You have the floor.
Sensible, intelligent man.
All right. We call Pam Cohn as a witness here.
Okay.
Pam, we'd like your version of this story.
All right. Several months before we took to the Saturn dealership, we went target shooting out in the open spaces near Albuquerque. So he said, it'll be no problem. We'll take the Saturn on this washboard road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he and a friend and I were driving on this road, and he starts to pick up speed, and we're going about 40 miles an hour, and the car is just shaking. I mean, there starts to be this hum, like the windshield's going to, like, shatter.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how...
And you're bouncing up and down. Your teeth are shaking in your head.
And I'm saying, Tim, slow down. Suddenly, he slows down, and he looks at me as if I have just taken away his favorite toy and spoiled the day for him.
So he left out the beginning of the story.
Yes,
because he didn't know. He doesn't agree that it was the beginning of the story.
Right,
well, exactly.
Yeah.
So when I took it to the dealership for my minor faux pas, they had run some diagnostic junk on it. I don't know why, but they did.
Yeah.
And they told me, we replaced this engine mount. And I said, huh.
Huh.
I said, could that be from driving on washboard roads? And they said, did you drive on a washboard road? And I said, no, my fiancé, Tim, drove on a washboard road. And they looked at each other like this secret male handshake kind of thing and said, no, I couldn't do that.
You can't believe anybody.
So as intelligent men as you are, and I've listened to your show.
And honest.
That's right.
And humble. And intelligent.
That's right. And I've seen you on 60 Minutes and very attractive, I may say.
And very attractive.
That's right. So I know that you will help him see the error of his ways and tell him he's wrong. Okay.
Give us that attractive part again, Pam.
Attractive, intelligent, what are the other adjectives?
Tim, you haven't got a prayer here.
Well, I was thinking, it could have just crushed.
Because maybe a high wind went through the car.
Well, I'd have to say that this is clearly one of those cases where we cannot absolutely lay the blame anywhere.
Oh, see?
I mean, there is certainly a chance that an engine mount could get crushed if you're bouncing around on a washboard road. But to say that that's what happened that day... Boy, that's going to be tough to do.
Well, I will say that
we have seen
a few Saturns in the shop that have needed engine mounts, and there are certainly no washboard roads where we are.
Uh-huh.
At least not very many of them. But the washboard road doesn't help the rest of the car. So even though he may not be culpable in this particular instance, he's definitely... Tim, are you still there?
Yeah, still here.
I think Tim is guilty of wrecking your car, Pam.
Yeah.
I mean, it was unconscionable to take someone else's car and drive it at 40 or 50 miles an hour on a washboard road. That wasn't nice, Timmy, baby.
I mean, that's wrecking the shock absorbers. It's wrecking the ball joints. It's doing a job on all the suspension bushings. It's loosening the exhaust system.
He tried to convince me that was good for the car.
Crush it. Oh, yeah, to loosen everything up. Keep all that stuff moving.
Could you suggest a penance for him?
A penance?
Geez, Pam, you have a mean streak, I think.
Hey, he knew that, and he married me anyway.
A penance, huh?
Penance.
Well, what would you suggest? What would be appropriate?
Washing clothes for a month.
A who?
Washing the laundry for a month.
That's a lot. How about a week? Come on, give the guy a...
No. What do you mean? First of all, he should be doing it 6 months out of the year.
Yeah.
Already.
That's right.
Uh-oh.
We just got married in November. I haven't quite broken him in yet.
We're in trouble now.
Yeah.
Wait a minute now. Don't forget, whatever you'd say about
Tim. That just struck me just now. I know. It just dawned on me that what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Let's be very, very careful what our position is here. Even though our wives never listen to our show, people call them up and tell them what we say.
Oh, yeah.
So we have to be very, very careful. I'd say a day would be good.
Yeah.
A day. Right.
Folding.
One load and fold it.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Behave yourself,
Tim. Guys.
And don't get us in trouble anymore.
Okay.
See? Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, you're right. Whatever we suggested.
That was dangerous. We were treading on dangerous ground there.
That was a little trap set by Pam for us.
Mm. Mm. Probably paid off by your wife.
No, more likely yours.
Hey, do you know what time it is?
Time to harvest the last of the tomatoes growing in the backseat of your MG?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. It's Stump the Chumps, our chance to see if we were right or wrong, and whether any life-threatening injuries resulted.
All right, Tommy, who's waiting in the wings ready to make us eat crow today?
Today's Chump Stumper is Heather from Arcata, California, and as you may remember, I don't remember, but you might, sweet young Heather brought her 84 Volvo diesel to her trusted mechanic, Helmut. Remember Helmut?
Oh, I remember.
And she got a little more than she bargained for.
Calgon, take me away. Exhausted the moment.
Helmut. Yeah.
Well, I hope he's not listening.
Okay.
Anyway, so Helmut fixed a lot of things in my car. I took it in. I said, Helmut, my glove compartment's stuck. And 3 weeks later and $3,000 later, I got my car back.
But a glove compartment?
Well, he did a lot.
I guess if you're going to overcharge someone, you might as well go all the way.
Yeah, but $3,000 is a bit much for just opening the glove box. I mean, I would have charged only like $2,500.
Well, actually, it says here that $3,000 was for a new fuel injection system, but then Heather's real troubles began. Her car started to die in her at high altitudes, and with the help of some topographic maps, she figured out that it would shut off right when it reached 4,500 feet above sea level.
Good! And what brilliant answer did we deduce from those facts?
Well, none, really. We weren't sure exactly what was causing the car to shut off, but we went out on a limb and said that, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
It had absolutely something to do with the altitude.
And she laughed in our faces, right?
No. She was too nice. In our defense, I should say that Helmut was trying to convince Heather that the altitude had nothing to do with it.
Oh.
And we told Heather that Helmut was full of it.
All right. Let's bring Heather out. Heather! How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Okay, here's the deal, Heather. Is it true that you have not been offered any cash or prizes by members of our staff or Helmut's House of Fuel Injection in exchange for favorable testimony here today on Stump the Chumps? Is that true?
It's very true.
Okay, well, tell us what happened.
Well,
if
after,
anything.
Okay, I took the car back to Helmut.
Yeah.
After it died the second time. And I was really surprised because he called and told me that my car was ready. And I was shocked. So I went to pick it up. And I walked through the doors. And the place looked like it had been deserted. I mean, there was no one there except one little guy that was already blushing behind the counter. And I walked up to him and I said, I'm here to pick up my Volvo. And he said, I know. And he handed me the bill. And he said, we've fixed the problem. And I looked down at the bill, and the bill said $156 or something.
Yeah.
And I said, well, this has already cost me an enormous amount of money, so you need to tell me what you've done.
Yeah.
You need to convince me further than we've fixed it.
Yeah.
And he said, well, we found the problem, and this is what it is. You ready?
Yeah, of course. We're ready, sure.
The way you're talking, it sounds as though Helmut made some mistake that he fixed.
He did. He made a mistake and fixed it and tried to charge me for it.
Oh.
The mistake was that the fuel injector pump has two sensors or solenoids on it.
Mm-hmm.
One turns the car off if it is, for some reason, on fire or propelling at its own speed.
Right, if it gets into diesel runaway
mode. It's the emergency shutoff.
Yeah.
And the other changes the timing at 4,500 feet. So when they put the new fuel injector pump in, they switched the wires.
Oh.
So
it shut it off at
Helmut, you dumb cuss.
Boy, oh boy. But why did he charge you $156?
Well, that's what I said. The bill was in front of me, and I looked up, and I said, there's absolutely no way I'm paying this bill. It's real clear that it was your mistake. And he said, fine. He said, you're right. Helmut's not here. I'm just going to rip the bill up. So that guy was great. So then I got home, and I added up all the money that it cost me to go through Portland, because really, I live at sea level. There's no way the problem was going to show itself at sea level.
Right.
It had to be at 4,500 feet.
Sure.
The towing from Mount Hood to Portland was his responsibility, as was all of the bills that I had paid get it home. So I wrote him a nice letter. Well, actually, first I called him, and I said, Helmut, listen, I really think that you should reimburse me for this. I'm not going to charge you for emotional damages, but I need you to at least pay me the money that I'm out. And he said, I give you nothing. So
I spit on your butthole.
I sat down and I wrote him a letter, and it was a really good letter.
Good.
And he called me back a day later, and he said, I'm going to send you a check.
What a sweet guy.
It was a real good thing for him to do.
It was very nice of him. And by the way, he wasn't legally required to do this. I mean,
really?
Even though you sustained costs because of what he did.
And mental anguish.
I think
pain and suffering.
I suppose if you went to small claims court, you might win.
Uh-huh.
But he did the right thing.
Do the right thing. And I'm going to drum him out of the core.
Now the problem is I don't have a mechanic to take my car to and anywhere around here. So
Helmut.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Oh,
maybe.
No, you have to go back to
Helmut. You have to go back to Helmut.
A chance to recoup that $600.
No, I think you should certainly go back to Helmut. He has shown, first of all, that he could figure out a complex thing like this. And secondly, that he was gentleman enough to pay you money for the expenses that you incurred.
Oh, yeah, I'm not
He's
afraid
a real
that he would
gentleman.
Try to... I'm not afraid that, that he would try to cheat me or anything.
No, he would certainly not do that.
I
like this guy, Helmut.
And look at all the free publicity he's gotten by having his name mentioned on our show.
Yeah, that's why the place was empty.
Oh, yeah, that's... Yeah, he's going out of business.
Yeah.
No.
Good luck, and say hello to Helmut for us. I think he's
a
nice guy, and I think you have a nice relationship with him now. You could, at least.
Yeah, I think so.
See you, Heather.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for playing Stump the Chumps.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Well, I mean, I don't think we really deserve the da-da-da-da-da-da-da because we didn't figure. All it was related to the altitude. But
it was I think we said it was related to the work that he had done. I think we
did, but sure. But,
well.
That's like saying your car is broken. You know, I think your car is broken.
No.
You get money for that?
I mean, I had the proverbial snowball's chance in hell of figuring that out. Because every time a Volvo diesel comes into our shop,
everyone,
we all run for the bathroom. We only have one toilet, but we managed to get five guys in there. Anyway.
If you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestion from cartalk.com.
All right, it's time to take another temporary cancellation.
All right, this is one of those 60-second cancellations that help us practice for the real thing. Is that
you it? Got it. Stay tuned. We'll be reinstated in just a minute.
Switching it over to AM. Searching for a truer sound. Can't recall the call letters. Steel guitar and settle down. Catching it all. Somewhere in Louisiana, it sounds like 1960.
even though antiquities dealers pelt their radios with Ming vases whenever they hear us say it. This is NPR.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and higher education, evidently.
Yes, higher education. This came from Tom Goodell, and it says, I thought Tom and Ray might be interested in a few highlights from the book Non-Campus Mentis, World History According to College Students. This is a book, and here are some excerpts, and I will try to pick out a couple of these are things.
Beauties?
These are beauties. These are college students. Remember, now, these are college students who said this. And we don't know what the context was, usually a test of some kind. History, a record of things left behind by past generations, started in 1815. Thus, we should try to view historical times as the behind of the present. This gives insight, I-N-C-I-T-E.
Well, that's...
Into the anals, A-N-A-L-S, of this past. That's good. If you were paying tuition for this kid, wouldn't you be happy?
Well, imagine how bad he was before he went to college.
Civilization woozed out, W-O-O-Z-D-E-D, of the Nile about 300,000 years ago. The Nile was a river that had some water in it. Every year it would flood and irritate the land.
Probably did that too.
Judaism, J-U-D-Y-I-S-M, Judaism, was the first monolithic religion. It had one big god named Yahu. Oh, man.
Yahoo.
Julius Caesar inspired his men by stating, I came, I saw, I went. When he was assassinated, A-S-S-I-N-A-T-D. When he was assassinated.
That's worse than being assassinated. Assassinated, man, that's painful.
He is reported to have said, me too, Brutus. Without the discovery of the flying buttock, it would have been impossible to build the Gothic cathedrals.
Exactly. Who was going to go up that high?
Here's a comment regarding the Black Plague. Death rates in some towns exceeded 100%.
Get out.
Oh, man. The civil rights movement in the USA turned around the corner with Martin Luther Jr.'s famous If I Had a Hammer speech.
If I had a hammer.
Well, I can see that these excerpts are abounding with good intentions.
Abounding. Well, they are. I mean, and they're all based on something. Without the flying buttock.
Well, isn't it the flying buttockses?
Yeah, I thought it should have been plural, too.
Oh, God. Well, look, if you're waiting for a new puzzler, it'll be several weeks before we can coax the puzzler back onto the show.
I remember when I was a college professor.
Yes.
I remember giving a D to a student, and I actually got a phone call from her father one day. And he was quite irate that I had given her a D. Now, this D was a real gift.
Mm-hmm.
And I explained to him, I said, he was a doctor, I remember. I said, look, doctor, I understand how you feel, and I know you're paying a lot of money to send your daughter to this expensive university. But trust me, I've taught for many years, and the D was really a gift. And I said, to be honest, just between you and me, your daughter just isn't too bright. And he said, you know, I knew that. So I guess if, you know, she might have written one of these. She might have written all of them.
Yeah, well, they're deserving of D's.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what the heck? Anyway, so I started.
Socrates
again?
Was accused of sophomorism and sentenced to die of hemorrhoids.
We've accused Berman of sophomorism.
Hey, look, and we don't hold it against him.
If you're waiting for a new puzzler, it'll be several weeks before we can coax the puzzler back onto the show. I'm sure you know that. But in the meantime, if you need a fix, you can go to our website, cartalk.com, and we're posting a classic archival puzzler there every week.
I thought it was arch rival.
That too. Until our no good lazy puzzler returns. And speaking of no good and lazy, if you have a question about your car, our number is still 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is John from Telluride, Colorado.
Hi, John.
Telluride. I have a summer place there.
You do?
Yeah, everyone else has a winter place there.
Well, the summers are the best.
So the place is empty in the summer.
It's not empty. We got tons of festivals.
Really? How big a place is Telluride?
Oh, a couple thousand.
Couple of thousand?
Yep.
Two or 3,000?
Square miles.
2 or 3,000 permanent residents?
Yeah, 2,000.
How come it's so well known?
Because it's a great ski area, a very beautiful town, almost 9,000 feet up in the Rockies.
So why aren't there more people there?
I don't know. We're all hoping there aren't going to be any more people here.
Well, there are now.
Yeah, I know. Actually, it's really ugly.
Yeah, exactly. Too late, John. Too late. So anyway, what's on your mind today?
Well, I got an 86 Toyota 4Runner.
Okay.
That's been acting up for a while, off and on. You know, when I'm wanting to maintain the same speed, right? No matter how fast that speed is, it'll miss. It'll kind of hesitate and jump up and down, kind of. And then as soon as I give it gas or, you know, let up on the gas, it'll be fine. And it's very intermittent, and it just comes and goes. You know, sometimes it'll go for weeks without doing this, and sometimes it'll do it two or three times in a day. And one of the things I've noticed that seems to be connected to it as well is at some point during this process, I developed this fuel leak that would come out of my frame on the passenger side, and I noticed when I stop, fuel will drip out from my frame. And I've also noticed that I can stop that dripping, or at least slow it down. Sometimes it'll go for 5 minutes.
By taking the gas cap off.
By taking the gas cap off, exactly.
Wow.
And I've also noticed that it seems to follow this missing.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I think it is?
What's that?
Mud chiggers.
mud chiggers?
Did we have some gal who called us with a Toyota truck? And she had, the guy told us she had mud chiggers.
And we said
and we agreed.
We said, mud chiggers? What's that?
I think it's too cold. See, the mud freezes up here in the winter, and they'd all die.
Yeah, no, she was a Louisianan, so they got plenty of mud chiggers down there. So, but there are times when you can drive it at a steady speed.
Yeah. In fact, most of the times, it works fine.
And when it does work fine, you see no evidence of the leak. Is that true?
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, John, I want you to reconsider for a minute. All right, we're going to have to go to the dirty tricks bag here.
Well, I mean, first of all, when you see gasoline dripping, something is definitely wrong because gasoline shouldn't be dripping from anywhere.
That's what I had assumed.
Gasoline
yeah.
can't get out of anywhere unless something is wrong. And
right.
if it's coming from somewhere under the frame, it's a fuel line. There are steel lines that run from the gas tank to the engine.
I was told by a mechanic or two, actually, that there's also one, if not two, either vent or return line.
There's a return line and there's a vent line.
There's a return line.
Exactly. And so my guess is one of those has to have a hole in it. And that would also exacerbate the problem of missing, you know.
Well, I think the only line that's apt to affect the missing would be the feed line, the line that's under pressure. And that would seem to be consistent with the facts. So I think the leak is between the pump and the engine, and it's on the pressure line.
And it's coming out of maybe a bad connection?
No, I think the line's just rusted away.
Yeah.
All of this can be figured out, John.
By crawling underneath.
With a book of matches.
Oh, great.
No, you obviously have a leak of some kind, and while I don't think it's in the return line, I think it's very likely it's in the feed line, but you need to crawl under there, or better still, take it to a shop and have them put it on the lift and say, let's look at the fuel lines.
Why wouldn't it do it all the time?
I don't know. Eventually, it will do it all the time. When it gets bad enough, it's going to pour fuel out.
It also seems to do it more in hot weather.
Oh, you didn't have to add that. Well, you could have a faulty evaporative system. You know, the it's supposed to capture the vapors. Here, try this. For a few days, try driving around with the gas cap loose.
Oh, okay.
And see if, in fact, you don't have the problem at all.
And so if that fixes it, it is in the evaporative system?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I would, but you, in the meantime, you could take it to a gas station if you were so inclined. And one wonderful thing about gas leaks is because gas is such a wonderful solvent, it will wash away anything in near it. It'll wash it away completely. So if it's leaking in one area by the frame, you'll see the frame all washed off.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Very easy to find. You'll know where the leak is immediately.
Good luck, John.
Okay, thanks.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye. I bet never just going way down.
Oh, way, way. Hey, what can you do?
1-888-200.
In what?
I think we're down to like 200, aren't we?
I mean, up to 200. 1-888.
No, but we started out at 1,000.
No, we started out at zero.
Well, we started out, but after the first call, it was 1,000. That was an easy one.
Yeah, I
forgot what it was, but it was easy.
Yeah, like, what's your first name? 227-8255. We have a chance to redeem ourselves. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, Tom and Ray. This is Wendy from Washington, D.C.
Wendy!
Wendy.
Yes.
Is it Wendy or Windy?
Wendy.
No,
W-E-N-D-Y.
Wendy is Chicago.
Wendy. No, they call my brother Windy. Well, we won't discuss that in polite company.
So you're not a politician or a lawyer, are you, Wendy?
No, I'm not. I'm
excellent.
A grad student.
Grad student.
Studying law?
I'm doing business, my MBA.
Oh, that's even worse.
Really?
All right, but we'll talk to you anyway.
Okay, thanks.
All right, what's MBA. Shaking?
Well, I have a problem with a 1970 VW Beetle.
Yeah.
It's been sitting in my parents' garage.
For how long?
For about 2 years now.
Oh.
So my idea, just kind of off the top of my head, was that, oh, I could fly out and I could drive back the car and I'd have this cute little car and putt around the city.
Where do they live?
They live in Wichita, Kansas.
Forget what are you, nuts?
Impossible.
You're going to fly to Wichita and you think you're going to make it back to Washington, D.C.?
Okay,
with
well, that was my question. Do you think it'll make it or do you think it's worth it?
How close are you
no
to getting your degree?
What?
How close are you to obtaining?
1 year.
1 year?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah?
So.
I don't think you're ready yet.
Well, she's not. She didn't take that course.
Did you take the decision-making course yet?
Did you do the decision?
I'm a thrifty person. I'd rather drive that car than have it be sitting in the garage. And my parents, see, they don't want to sell the car.
Here's the deal. It is very unlikely that you'll make it back from Wichita, Kansas.
Okay.
to Washington, D.C. And it seems like a good idea, but it really isn't a very good
okay
idea.
On the other hand, in the words of the immortal Warner Oland.
Ah, yes.
Or Sidney Toler.
You could die of boredom.
No.
By not taking any chances.
Well, it's often attributed to Confucius, but I believe it was Sidney Toler who played Charlie Chan in the movies.
Yeah.
The world's longest journey begins with a single step. So you could try driving from
so
like...
So it could be kind of like a, you know, an odyssey. I could make.
What if you made it from Wichita to Topeka? Is that the wrong direction?
No, it's
that's
know,
the right direction, isn't
relatively
it?
Relatively speaking, the right direction.
Yeah, if you did that...
Then you'd have proven...
Turn around and go right back.
You'd have proven that the car could go that far.
If it can go a little distance,
and if you can extrapolate, if it can go 50 miles, why can't it go 500?
Right.
In 50-mile increments.
Sure.
So I would take little trips with it and hobble your way across the country.
And don't ever mention the fact that you're going to go all the way to D.C.
Not in the car.
The well, car what, won't know. The car
the mechanic,
thinks you're going, hey, you say, hey, hon, let's hop down to the supermarket and buy a quarter of vanilla ice cream. The car says, I can do that. That's nothing.
And the way you convey this to the car is you never put more than $2 worth of gas in the tank
right
at a time.
So it's kind of from gas station to gas station.
I think that's what you have to do. You have to fool the car and then say, surprise, we're in Washington.
And it'll fall apart.
I mean, you've got the rest of the summer to do this because we know you're just goofing off in Washington.
That's true. So, okay, it would take a long time.
No, here's my alternative, and I think you will find it interesting, enlightening, and charming.
Okay.
Tow it back.
You hire a teenager to drive it. No, you
oh,
hire
perfect
a company to flatbed it to Washington.
I thought about that,
because,
but I thought it would be so expensive.
No.
Well, first of all, it's not that expensive. Don't forget, you still have to buy a one-way ticket to Kansas, which they're going to charge the dickens out of you for.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you can do that for less than the airplane ticket, I will bet you.
And for less time. You'll be sitting in your apartment, and the doorbell will ring.
And the guy says, your car is here, madam.
The guy will say, Candy Graham. Yeah. And your car.
I've brought the car around, madam.
And I think the advantage of this is you can stick your father. Why pay the repair bills all the way across the country where you can have dad fix up the car before it leaves Kansas?
That's the plan, see?
And you won't have to spend that very boring weekend with mom and dad.
And that 2 weeks driving from Kansas.
My parents listen to the show. You're
yeah, well, it's better to be upfront.
See you, Wendy.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You have squandered another precious hour of summer listening to Car Talk.
Yeah.
Our esteemed producer is Doug, the subway fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blooper, and Alosa. Our web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Greater Lowell Grilled Soul, Escarole, Pasta Fajol, Profiterole, and Tootsie Roll Supper Stroll, is John Bugsy Lawler.
Yes, where is he, by the way?
He's arriving momentarily. Oh. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is O Tekashawa. Our transgender studies expert is Ben-Hur. Our Russian chauffeur is Bikoff and Dropoff. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne-Diaz, who's married to our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne-Diaz, who are the proud parents of a teenage daughter, Sasha Royal Payne-Diaz. And the head of our working mother support group, of course, is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the pigeons on cell phones in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and of course, Don't Drive Like My Brother.
And of course, Don't Drive Like My Brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1234, download some classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, 10 things you do that drive us crazy.
Yeah, now we've written a lot about lousy things that mechanics do to their customers, but now we've come up with our top 10 things that customers do to annoy mechanics.
Like driving Peugeots.
Yeah, or like withholding information. Now that's a 10-yard penalty in our shop. Or DDO, deadly dog odor. That's 20 yards and 2 cans of Lysol. Check out the top 10 things customers do to annoy their mechanics right now over at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Robert Siegel wonders if he can get his old paper route back whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.